Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only, the irrepressible Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello, Benoons. How you doing?
Oh my God, I am great. I'm so happy to finally be home after a 2.5 week odyssey to New York City. Could not have thought of a better time to go than the past 2 weeks watching the Knicks ascend to win. Oh my God. I'm sure you were the one who was first out there on the streets, Ronnie, cheering with all the fans, weren't you?
Well, you know what? When you're manifesting, the best way to manifest something is to not care. Because when you care, you're bringing kind of like that nervous, negative energy into it. Like, oh my God, I want it so bad. And I didn't care. So I was just like, wow, I hope the Knicks win. And I was very nonchalant and it worked. So you're all welcome.
It did. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ronnie, for bringing your nonchalance to help the Knicks claim victory.
Nailed it.
But anyway, for real, though, it was a great time. And we've said it before, but we'll say it again. Thanks to everyone who came to our shows. That was really special for us. Mm-hmm. And now we're back to real life. But it was a really great 2.5 weeks.
It was out there. So much fun. And so great being in the city for 2 weeks and getting kind of back into that lifestyle and seeing the city so lit and so excited.
It was great.
It was really cool. So yeah, that was a really, really good time. I wanted to say happy birthday to Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Yes.
Triple 20, baby. Hit the 60. Long time listener, Facebook moderator, friend of ours. So that's pretty incredible. She went on the Kate Chastain and Captain Sandy cruise.
Really?
To party with the Bay Area bitches. Which is really cool that all those people are still hanging out. I mean, it's been years. It's been decades. So
yeah,
it's really cool to see stuff like that. So happy birthday to you. Sending all the love to the Bay Area. Badges. And if you want to be on Patreon, which is where you get videos and bonus episodes like our Love Island bonus episodes and etc., and you want ad-free listening or our free weekly blog that I write every week because it's weekly, making fun of these shows all over again. It's so fun how I can trigger people in writing again. I just love it.
Oh yeah, you know,
there's
really
something about there's really something about pissing people off with just audio that maybe I'm just used to, but pissing people off in writing just feels so much better.
Well, say it, forget it, write it, regret it.
Never regret it.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Never regret it. I regret nothing.
I landed from New York yesterday, and I went on to my phone, and I was looking, and there were some quotes from your newsletter, and you'd written a thing about Nia, and you basically were like Nia, stop like pretending, you know, stop pretending everything's okay, just say he's got a problem with drinking, and I told him he's got to fix it, whatever. You just said something like that. So the Nia apologist came out, and then one of them somehow like equated this to like, you know, like somehow brought like trans, like anti-trans issues into it. And I was like, really? It's like, what is wrong with people? What is happening here? I don't understand how you can even.
I'm telling you, any reason to be a bigot.
Thread in the Nia. Yeah. Any reason to bring it into like bashing trans people. I'm like, it's a discussion about Nia and Danny. What is wrong with you?
Well, the quote is, Nia, you're making this so much worse. Just say my husband's a dick, and if he keeps that shit up, I'm leaving him. I'm not a moron. The cast and I would leave you alone, but no, you have to insist and demand that we all believe that the way he treats you is totally fine and normal and acceptable. No, ma'am. Restaurants don't all decide to stop cleaning just because you're okay eating somewhere with a C posted on the front window. You've done so much settling you could have founded this country. Okay, that's the quote. So they somehow took this and made this into, you're so close on getting it right on the trans issue, because just because they pretend doesn't mean we have to. And then I was like, go be a bigot somewhere else. And someone else is like, you guys have been disappointing me for 4 years. Oh, really? Then what are you still doing here? What are you, Nia? Just sitting around and wallowing in disappointment. I mean, it's crazy. Come on. This is a simple, you want Nia to leave her babies? Oh, for Christ's sake, people. but whatever
everyone
it is, like I think there's something in writing.
Nia's family. You know?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But either way, the point is you should be reading Ronnie's newsletter because he's got some hot takes in there.
It's fun. It's fun time. And by the way, you're allowed to, you know, disagree or whatever. I'm not I'm not telling people not to disagree, but, you know, go be a bigot somewhere else. How are you going to listen to two gay men and then come on here? Two gay men who are like standing against the men on these shows for being such pricks, and then come on and argue pro straight guys and pro or anti-trans shit. You're just at the wrong place. Yeah. I'm sure there are plenty of places for you to go. God bless you.
Especially when talking about Danny and Nia has nothing to do with trans issues whatsoever.
Nothing.
Not that I can see. But, you know, you got to love the internet. The internet will always internet. When given a chance, the internet will internet. But anyway, yeah. As we are members of the internet, let us do our
proudly
job of adding noise to the internet by talking about this week's Real Housewives of Atlanta. And speaking of the Knicks, you didn't watch the game, but Miss Angela Oakley herself made a cameo appearance in the finals there, because Charles Oakley was there for the for game five of the Knicks versus the Spurs. And Angela was right there. So, of course, I was very excited because it was right at the end. You know, it was like 7 seconds left. Knicks are up by 2 points. They go and they start showing all the great Knicks. They're all in there, you know, standing up, Patrick Ewing, et cetera. Like, oh my God, is this the moment we're finally going to win? And then they show Charles Oakley and they show Angela next to him. So there was like, for me and for every Housewives fan, there was like an extra, extra like layer of euphoria happening in that moment. It was like, oh my God, the Knicks are about to win. And there's Angela, you know?
I'm a Fangy.
Yeah, she did not have her Fangy present. What's... Are you blocking the gear? You're like, no cameras, no pics, no photos, please.
My nonchalance. I'm upping my lighting a little bit to
match
you.
So it's very exciting. Real Housewives of Atlanta. So we start up. It's episode 11 from season 17. Shady Text and Bigger Regrets. It was supposed to be Shady Texts and Bigger Regrets, whatever it is. We are at Lake Bailey, Cynthia's house, and America's favorite, Shamia, she shows up, and she's saying how, wow, she just still hasn't even recovered from the party. It was just so fun watching Gerald turn whatever age he turned. I mean, it has taken it out of Shamia, but it was so, so fun. And she and Gerald are still talking about it, guys. It was so
great. An amazing party. And if you didn't remember much about it, it's because it was extremely boring because she didn't invite anybody that she didn't like just to feature her husband. Nobody cares about your husband, okay? I'm so sorry. Nobody's watching the show for Gerald's birthday. I'm sorry. You need to do better things. So she's really excited, so that's good. And Cynthia's like, yeah, you know, Shamia's usually a good time, but there wasn't anything fun about her ass in Dallas. And because of my history, I want to just have this time with her to tell her, goddamn girl. So she's like, so yeah, how'd you come up with the guest list? Because there were a lot of people not invited. And she says, well, last time I spoke with Drew or Angela, it was just, so, you know, you can't just come for somebody's marriage and think that you can come back from that. Yeah, you brought up her marriage, no?
Yeah, you did that first. So Cynthia's like, well, what about Drew? What's your issue with her? Shamia says, I don't have an issue with Drew. She just wouldn't stop bringing up Portia. And that's where I draw the line. And Cynthia's like, so with that said, since you did bring her up, which is ironic because you're complaining about Drew bringing up Portia, but since you brought up Portia just now, how come you didn't invite her to the party? And she's like, well, it's just a little too much for now. I think we've just got to slow our roll. You know?
Yeah.
You never want to strain the friendship by having Portia come to Gerald's boring party.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get this straight. You didn't want Portia there. You didn't want Drew there. And you didn't want Angela there. Those are three people who are at least twice as entertaining as you. So sometimes you got to realize like where you are and what you're doing, which is filming a show. Nobody's into your storylines. Everybody's into theirs. So, you know, maybe like bend a little so you can have a more entertaining party for TV that people are watching you on.
Cynthia's like, well, I am going to point out that she did invite you. She goes, yeah, well, she invited me, but let me finish speaking, okay? We were in an awkward place, and we had not even spoken. On the other hand, Dennis and Gerald talk all the time, and they do play dates with the kids. So, you know, that's why. And which I still think it's like, I think if you invite Dennis, you invite Portia. Sorry, I think this is tacky on Shamia's part. So, but she said it would be unfair for her to let the issues with Portia spill into Dennis and Gerald's relationships. Why is Dennis also all up in everyone else's friendships? Why is it like every season it's like, well, but Dennis is friends with, Dennis has his own relationship with Drew. Dennis has his own relationship with Gerald. Dennis is only friends with these people because of Portia, by the way. And then he's now ingratiated himself into all these people's lives. And then you're going to cut out Portia? Uh-uh.
Yeah, Dennis came on, came into Portia's life to get onto TV with this hot dog network.
Yeah.
And he's sticking to it. You know, he's getting what he came here for. And Shamia even says, yeah, and Simon might have even been there if he was still living in the country. So take that. I'm a triple non-girls girl. There.
I know, right? Like, that does not make it any better. So she goes, and you know that we had some really nasty texts that went back and forth after the reunion, and one was about my marriage. And Cynthia's like, but I always feel like when it comes to you and Portia, it's bigger than our circle. So let's just leave it right there. I'm like, wait, no, but this is something real. Why aren't we should talk about this? I'm sorry. This is a real issue and we should dive into it. It is something bigger. And these two, they're being dumb by fighting so much, and they should get back to being friends. But that's fine. We can just leave it there and talk about, I don't know, Drew Sidora opening up a can of pickles or something.
Yeah. So Shamia's like, you know, when I'm away from my family or my life, I want to be able to have fun because I've just got so much happening, you know? My surrogate is due to start her mock cycle, and that's where we practice cycles. It's like court. Mock court. We just say objection, but there's not really a judge. And anyway, we're starting my mock cycle, and I want to be able to I'm worried that if this boy doesn't take, there might not be another chance for me to have a penis on a child. What will I do? If I get any more vaginas, we'll lose the castle.
Yeah, I Cynthia's like, oh, great. Okay, well, I came here to talk about you and Portia, but sure, we could talk about your baby stuff some more.
I'm doing a rewatch of House of the Dragons because that show comes back soon. And normally we recap it. We don't know if we're doing it this year, but we think so. So I thought, well, I better rewatch it. It's been a couple of years. And it's like the same storyline as Shamia. And that's sad when you're like having a medieval storyline. Like, what will we do if we don't have a ding-a-ling? Drown the girl babies.
Shamia having the same storyline as House of the Dragons is not what I was expecting you to say whatsoever.
It actually is the same problem if you think about it. Like the Green Party has a or the Green House has a party, but they don't have enough dragons there. And everyone's like, ugh, who wants to come here without dragons? Like, we're only here for the dragons.
The way I don't remember anything that's happening on that show is hilarious. I was like, okay, yes, the green part of the dragons. That's right. They don't have any dragons. It's like, yes, of course. Of course, that is what is happening on that. I'm like, I don't remember. All I remember is that Matt Smith spent the entire season wandering around a strange castle having visions of a lady. And I'm like, that's all
it's called Harrenhal. How dare you?
Harrenhal. The Siege of Harrenhal. I will watch a refresher to get me back up to speed on all the huge things that happened.
Yeah, it is a huge thing, actually, because they go to Harrenhal because they need it for the war, but then the dragons had already, like, set it afire. He's like, Harrenhal sucks now because you guys started it on fire with your fucking dragon. What do you want from us? He's like, well, then repair it, make it nice. And he's like, how am I supposed to do that? We don't have any money. You burnt all our money, too. He's like, just do something. And Angie needs to come in there and be like, I'm here to fix Harrenhal. Yeah. Sandies everywhere.
It literally was like his entire character was doing a full HGTV arc at Harrenhal. Every single episode was him just fixing up that place while also having weird visions.
Yeah.
And then he would talk about it. He would talk about it in like the, you know, when the show was over, and he'd be like, well, what's amazing is he going mad or is he not going mad? And every week you have to wonder. I'm like, every week I really don't care. I'm like, just add some AC, get some new wiring, and then go back to the island where your wife's sister is.
Stop just dreaming of Joanna Gaines in every room and just put up the shiplap. We know you're going to put up the shiplap. Yeah. Just do it, okay?
Please. So anyway.
Okay. Sorry for everybody we just confused, yeah, but you know, Shamia. It is a part of our life. So yeah, so Shamia, Cynthia tries to talk some sense into Shamia about like opening her heart to other people, and Shamia is not having it. She's like, no, I won't. And she's like, I have nothing to apologize for because they've also lit me up. So Cynthia's like, okay, whatever. So they hug.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
We go to Pink Lotus, and this is K. Michelle and Pinky for a meeting. And Pinky's like, oh my gosh, $9,000 came out of my account this morning. I couldn't even identify what it was. It turns out it was food for the restaurant. God, so much money coming in and out. I just don't know. Being a boss.
By the way, I'm still sort of on the name of this place, Pink Lotus. It's just like, guys, let's capitalize off of the success of White Lotus, but we'll call it Pink Lotus, and we'll make sure Pinky shoots a scene here to justify the name. Okay, go. So they're celebrating, though. Pinky is celebrating something today, and K. Michelle says, what are you celebrating? And Pinky says, just life, because there's so much that's good. I mean, $9,000 less that's good, but there's still so much that's good. And so they toast because she's franchising Slutty Vegan. And Pinky's saying how there's never been a black woman to franchise a vegan brand. So that's a very exciting thing. And she says, I think God wanted me to go through all that bad stuff because, you know, good things are happening back to back now. Are they? What are the good things that are happening? You just lost $9,000 when you went to the bathroom.
I don't know, because she does change it up a lot. Like one minute she's like, I'm rich. I piss $90,000. Who gives a shit? $90,000 is nothing to me. I wipe my ass with that. And the next day she's like, I owe $4 million. And the next day she's like, my husband's taking care of it, but I can't. Then she's like, I can't let my husband take care of it. I don't know. She's vacillating a lot between like boss B and, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's all over. So I'm not really sure what to believe. I would imagine that that's normal in this situation.
Well, she at this point is saying how bankruptcy at first was like a really tough pill to swallow, but now she's used to it. She's like, you know what? I'm used to being bankrupt. And also she's got a husband who's going to help her if it gets really bad. And she's like, I just want him to know that his wife is a warrior. And that's what made him attracted to me in the first place. I am a warrior who's also making a pilot with someone from 3LW. Okay.
So K. Michelle's like, well, everybody has their seasons and their highs and their lows, and I'm going through my season right now. You know, it's just that there's all these opinions that make you feel like you don't belong. What is your season? How are you going through your season? You're offended at everything that happens. How is that a season? What season would that be? Fall? It's always raining shit.
How dare
on your
you say
head.
It's fall? How dare there is a plot to say it's fall when it was actually summer?
That one, I'm through my season.
So then Pinky's like, by the way, why was Shamia trying to take that purse out of your hand?
She's like, oh my God, she told you?
She's like, yeah, I mean, that's hilarious.
Just, well, you know, life is more than the national anthem. And hopefully if you do rap up people, you'll get an experience to experience other performances, you know?
And Pinky goes, yeah, like cruise ships. And then they both laugh. And so then K. Michelle is like, you know what? Bad drink came at the right time.
K. Michelle's like, Drew puts out AI music. You gonna trust somebody that puts out AI music? Is this true?
I don't know if it's true. I don't know if she's saying that her music sounds like AI or she uses AI. It could be a little bit of both, to be honest. So K. Michelle is saying that they had like a long night. And she says, by the way, so Shamia and her mom came to the club. And it's like 2 a.m. And Pinky's like, wait, the club? She's like, girl. She's like, she didn't knock up the club. And we actually see footage of Shamia and her mom at the club. And so K. Michelle.
I would love to see Shamia's mom at the club. Can we just play a song? Everybody needs to get along together because we're here together to get along and love each other. No fighting, no mess. That's a very long title. Could you be more specific? By the way, I just looked it up. Recent buzz surrounding Drew Sidora and AI music stems from rumors sparked by her castmates. I guess this is just coming from K. Michelle.
Yeah.
Is there proof? Can we put it through an AI filter or whatever?
Do we know if Drew Sidora is even a real person or is she just an AI-generated avatar? Because sometimes I wonder.
I wonder that about Rula on Real hot sauce.
People say that about, people say that about Corbin on Love Island. They're like, is he AI?
Yeah, AI.
He talks so slowly. Anyway, so they're at the Shamia brought her mom to the club. And K. Michelle says, we're literally like this. And she has, like, it's like head to head. Like, and she says that, I think, was she talking? She says her mom, Shamia's mom, has her, is like holding her hand, is holding K. Michelle's hand. And Pinky's like, I'm not praying in the club. Mm-hmm. And K. Michelle says, basically, it went on for over an hour. And, you know, you say to me, oh, and I just hope you'll be loyal to me. I hope you'll be my friend because none of my friends want to be your friend. That's. So when I go to the car, I'm like literally crying by then. At first, when she said this, I thought she said the mom was saying this. I thought the mom was telling her, I hope you'll be my friend because no one wants to be my, wants like no one wants to be your friend, so be my friend. But then afterwards, I realized it must have been Shamia who was saying this to K. Michelle.
Yeah, which basically kind of proves everybody who's saying that Shamia is twisting all of this stuff and making K. Michelle kooky is correct. This is what Shamia has been doing. And finally, K. Michelle is telling us, yeah, she's sitting there like, nobody wants me to be friends with you, which is why she thinks nobody likes her. So, yes, she is being loaded up by Shamia and then sent out to argue everybody. It is shitty. And so she's like, you know, I've got Shamia's back more than anything, but for you to keep saying to me, nobody in Atlanta wants me to be your friend, I mean, I don't want to hear about no goddamn candy-coated nights.
I didn't really get that. Mean?
So was she saying that
Candy was one of the people
Candy
who
doesn't
said that?
Like her? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I love that Candy's still being brought into it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes K. Michelle makes a reference to something that I'm like, what is she talking about? Because, you know, she picks up references that aren't there. So then she makes references that aren't there, too. So she's basically offended by this because Shamia is trying to advocate for herself by saying, look how good I am to you. I'm the only one that wants to be your friend, which is so mean to K. Michelle.
She's pulling the Kyle Richards. Everybody thinks it. Everybody says it.
Yeah.
Everyone's
saying it.
I'm the only one here for you. Everybody else hates you, you know?
So then K. Michelle's like, I just want us to have some fun. And Pinky, of course, on the heels of hearing a story about how Shamia told K. Michelle that no one likes her, Pinky's like, well, speaking of fun, I said, you know what? We should have a skate party. It's an 80s theme. I'll bring the vibes and the energy. We're not going to do any BS. I'm like, okay, so we'll just move on from the fact that Shamia like made this slanderous comment to K. Michelle. That's fine. We'll just plan a skate party instead.
And everybody's going to be invited. So then we go to Portia's house, and she's got a chef, and he's teaching her how to slice carrots and stuff, because I guess it's just never too late to learn. How to slice a carrot.
It's never too late. You know, life is about learning. Life is learning. And if that means slicing carrots, then so be it.
Mm. So Portia, we find out, doesn't have a doorbell. And she's like,
well, that's because it's iron doors. Nothing's going to signal from that door. So you have to call my phone or you have to bust your knuckles.
What do you think doorbells are made of? Little actual dings? Like little actual bells in front of a door that you're supposed to hear from the inside? They're connected to electricity. And speakers in your home in general.
I've never heard that before, that you can't install a doorbell by an iron door. Even if it's a ring, like that's crazy. Does she think it's just a bunch of little sprites playing a glockenspiel? I mean, what is this?
I can't hear something's bell up. It's dung from outside.
Portia.
I mean, the girl's just learning how to chop a carrot for the first time at 40-something, so I guess we should give her a break.
Issues of the doorway have plagued her for a long time. First, it was the welcome mat that Marla pointed out. Now it's the doorbell. I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen next. It's going to be a knob issue.
Yeah. So they're making oxtails for dinner, and it's Mike. It's Mike who's coming in. Big Mike.
Great.
And
she's like, well, I like Mike, but I'm standing 10 toes down on my sister's advice.
And then we see a flashback of Lauren being like, as women, we should multi-date, not multi-sleep with, but just you need to date 5 people at a time. You know, that's the same thing they're telling Taylor, Frankie, Paul on the Mormon Wives show. I started watching that season late. That's not true advice. Why do people give this advice? I don't think you need to date
maybe just
20 people
Island.
At a time. Men are men. That's just find one you like and be done with it.
To be fair, Mike is about as wide as 5 people. He's a very, very muscular.
He's a big guy.
Wide man. He's a big guy. And then they serve him food. They serve him this like one little like chicken wing. I was like, that's not going to be enough for him. So Portia's saying,
I know I'm wifey material because I carry the energy anytime I date. So of course I can picture a future with you, but I am definitely trying to move differently this time.
I'm like, are you? We've seen Portia trot out the dating game for so many years. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be negative, everyone. I'm loving this season. I really am. But I do feel like the episode's kind of ground to a halt when it gets to Portia's personal life. Whether she's going on a date or talking with Dennis, it's just kind of like the same scene we've been seeing for years and years and years and years. And like we need something better here.
And I don't necessarily believe it. She doesn't seem to really have anything going on with Mike. She has something. The Sway thing seems somewhat believable. But, I mean, the best one was the hot dog guy, because that was just hilarious that she'd started dating the hot dog guy and then ended up doing all that with the hot dog guy and having a kid in, like, 5 minutes. So that was something. And then it was Simon, who she stole / didn't steal, depending on who you listen to, from her friend / not friend, who, depending on who you listen to, right after, because he's a super rich African. So she wanted that money and then kind of got that. So we see how Portia moves. She moves from like a hot dog guy to another rich guy to Mike. What does Mike do? Do we know what Mike does?
He's an actor. He's also like a motivational speaker.
She's getting with a rich man. Come on.
Yeah, it makes you almost pine for the day of Kenya and her tow truck operator. It's like, those are the days.
Oh, yeah. The garbage truck guy. Was it tow truck?
What was his name?
I guess it was tow truck.
What was his name again?
Walter.
Like Wes, but Walter.
Yeah.
W. I knew he had a W there.
Walter, her hired YouTube actor.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, I hate to be negative about it. I feel like Portia is such an iconic cast member, and she's such a great, like, Hall of Fame Real Housewife, but I do feel like she does self-produce so much of her personal stuff that I have a hard time with it. Like, I think she's great in group events, but like when the action settles down and she's in her living room with her mom and her sister and a guy comes over, Dennis, I'm always like, all right, everyone, time to get a snack.
Yeah. So he's talking about love languages. I don't even know why. And he's like, yours is to feel safe. And she goes,
yeah, it's like, it's safety. Yeah. Safety.
He's like, you want to feel protected.
And she's like, well, communication.
And he's like, communication. Yours is communication. She's like, you don't think I'm good at communication. He's like, you don't have a doorbell that works. It's like literally a communication block.
So then she's like, so remember I was at CultureCon? And we see footage of the famous moment where Portia announced to the world that she's talking to two different people. He is nice and she is nice. So, and everyone's like, oh my God, oh my God. So she says, I was wrong. She tells us, I was wrong. In my odd mind, I thought I was giving him a shout out. But I guess it wasn't like a shout out. In her mind, she's thinking, wasn't it nice that I included you in the discussion of people that I'm interested in, like that you made it to the final two. You made it to the season finale of the Porsche Lorette. Like, aren't you excited? And he's kind of like, I'm assuming what his reaction was sort of like, wait, there's someone else in the picture? What's going on?
Yeah, and he does the guy thing because he probably watches Love Island, so he's learned fuckboy talk. My voice is really gone after the past couple of weeks. But he's like, yes, listen, I hear you, and everything you're saying is valid. And part of being safe and a safe space to you is letting you know that you're valid. Oh, for Christ's sake. Just tell her you don't want her dating two people. I would. Why is this suddenly okay? Everybody's like, oh, that's great. Oh, we just had sex. Oh, yeah, that was fun. We've been dating for a couple weeks. We had sex. You told me you loved me. Oh, you still want to date my sister? Oh, great, great. Go ahead. You know what? Safe space. Safe. Fuck that. I'm knifing the air out of your tires.
Ronnie?
What?
Your feelings are valid.
Fuck you with that, you fucking fuck boy. And listening to that.
Honestly, on
90% of the time, my feelings are not valid, okay? And everybody's feelings and opinions are not valid either, okay? Cut the shit.
That, at a certain point, yeah. Like, honestly, there was an episode of Love Island sometime. Who knows? They all blend together where Corbin, the big, tall fuck boy, who every episode is like, Can I get a little kiss? So this time he's in the middle of it.
He does his
He's like, your feelings are valid. I was like, wow, if even this guy is doing your feelings are valid, then that means it's time to retire this. Okay, this is getting worse than Kyle Richards saying that something's on fleek.
Your feelings are valid.
Your feelings are like valid.
Melanie, your feelings are valid. Can I get a little kiss? Can I get a kiss? Can I get a kiss?
Okay, so Portia's like, you know, the thing is, he wants to take it slow, but then he still wants kids, but then I have to do IVF, and I don't want, you know, he doesn't have kids, and, you know, of course he wants a little pee-pee, and, you know, a little Portia, not a pee-pee. So.
And so she's like, you know, you're quality, and I will offer to take it slow with you. Portia, you know he wants kids, you don't want kids, just get out of there. It's not worth it for this storyline.
I do appreciate, though, like, Portia ending the streak of women on The Real Housewives recently who are like, well, IVF was terrible and I'm at an age where it would actually be dangerous for me and I don't want to do it. I actually do not want to do this whatsoever, but he wants a child. So I guess I'll have to do it. I'm glad that she's like, yeah, I'm not doing that again, because we've seen it like a few too many times. And I appreciate making sacrifices for your partner, but sometimes your partner has to like readjust what they want for their life, because it's just not fair to make someone have to do all the physical, go through all the physical duress, just because you have an idea of how you want things to look in your picture frame.
Well, and also it's unfair because guys kind of have unlimited time, you know, like we see guys getting people pregnant when they're 90, like Robert De Niro or whoever, who's still out there just impregnating everybody. And it's not really fair to like wait and then be like, oh, well, I'm not getting as much ass as I used to. Guess I better settle down now with someone that's 50 and then make them have a baby. Well, if it kills them, who cares? I'll have a baby. Like,
yeah,
you waited. You did not shit and you got off the pot and now you have to poop. And now you're just going to have to take the rest of this ride having to poop.
Your feelings are valid. Your diaper is valid.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Kelly's house, and she's moving, okay? She's moving because she doesn't like her home anymore. And I thought it was going to be because of she wanted to get a fresh start with her ex and everything. But it turns out that actually she also has a neighbor who's harassing her. And I'd forgotten about this because I think we probably mentioned this on one of the crappy hours. But she has a neighbor who's a real issue, a real bad neighbor. This is a neighbor who did not take any wisdom from the Mrs. Pools of the world or Vicky, the neighbor on, Small Wonder or David Leisure. This is a bad neighbor. And they have made her life.
Well, it's a bad neighbor, but listen to this. Okay, so I looked this up and read the stories. This is not that Kelly wants to move, okay? Kelly has a protective order against her because she went over and attacked the neighbor at her home. Because, first of all, she lives next to the HOA lady, the HOA president, which nobody needs that. I would never live next door to the HOA president. That's crazy. Because, you know, they're a pain in the ass. And I know there are HOA people listening to this, and they're like, I'm not a problem. Okay, maybe you're
you
not.
You are.
But no, we all know that in general.
I hate to tell you this.
Yeah, the stereotype comes from somewhere. It's like, oh, that car is ugly. I'm writing them a letter about it. I don't want to see that on the street. Their mailbox needs to be repainted, and someone's going to do something about it. It's going to be me. You know, you're that person. Sorry. So she's living next door to this lady. Her name is Perry. Perry, I looked up. She's also got like a acting.
Perry Gilpin? Is it Perry
it's
Gilpin?
Close. Please. It's clear. I had it up here, but I lost it. Perry.
If it was Ross and from Frasier, ugh. This would be a great scandal.
All right, let's just have it be Perry Gilpin. So it's Perry Gilpin. Okay. Perry Gilpin's also got like some acting resume online where she's trying to get work in the industry, you know, whatever, which, you know, that's fine. But just to give some background. So Kelly's kid is parking in the fire zone, I guess, consistently. She just keeps parking in the fire lane. And then the HOA lady, Perry, is like, you cannot park in the parking lane. And she just keeps doing it anyway. So finally, Sherry just booted her car. She kept calling and getting the car booted. Now, Kelly is taking this and saying, this woman is stalking me and my children. Your child is parking in the fire lane. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's not okay either. Now, the lady booting it, sure, that's, yes, going a little too far. So Kelly goes over there and gets into it with this lady. She says the lady physically assaulted her, but the lady is saying that she came onto her property when it wasn't allowed and she got a protective order against her. So she might have to move. I don't, if you have a protective order against you, you can't be within a certain amount of feet within somebody. So that's everything I read, but it's a damn mess over there. And the way that Kelly is telling it is, she's been harassing me. She's stalking me. She's stalking Chloe. She's booting her car. I had to call the police. It just became out of control because I protect my babies. Well, you should also worry about the houses that want to be protected from being on fire and have your child stop parking in the parking lane.
That's See, what? I knew you were going to get the real story. That's why I didn't even bother. I was like, I'm not looking this up. Ronnie's going to tell me everything. He's going to know everything. He's going to have the whole thing. All I do know is that you can't spell R-H-O-A without H-O-A. So it's a test that we finally had an H-O-A moment.
It's a full circle moment. I will say this. It puts me in an awkward position because Kelly makes me crazy on this show, but I don't dislike Kelly. I mean, I like her. I think she seems like a decent person. You know, she could do better on the show, but I like her and her kids seem sweet. So what are you going to side with the HOA lady who you know is a fucking monster? So I don't want to side with her. But the main issue is parking in the fire lane, which we all know is annoying. Anybody who has street parking and then there's a one person who's just like entitled to do whatever they want, or they'll like park in front of the full driveway so that the people have to go. They have to go find you, the person to move. You know, those fucking entitled people. And so I'm like, great. They got their car booted.
I'm on Perry Gilpin's side on this one because we have that too. We have it's townhomes and we have like a little driveway area. And there's one person who, when they have guests over, they allow them to park in front of their garage. But like all the garages are in like one sort of like, you know, it's like a townhome setup. It's like a U-shaped thing. And so like it blocks people. And it's like, get a parking pass, get a street parking pass like the rest of us do. It's not that difficult. So I'm on Perry's side with this. And so to that, I will say, Perry, your fire lane is valid. I support this.
Yeah. So get the fuck out of the fire lane, Kelly. But to hear Kelly say it, I'm being stalked. I'm being harassed. So maybe there's more to the story. I'd love to hear it it's out there.
I would love to hear more of this story, too, which is that Kelly, you're moving out of this apartment and you're going to move into Shamia's townhome while you find someplace. What happened to Jarvis? Did that little sugar daddy situation kind of dry up there? Why is Jarvis not providing a roof for this family?
Oh, yeah, because $75,000 would have gone a long way towards a rental. That would have gone a long way. And you're wearing your new townhouse in your mouth, basically, because you got your teeth done by Jarvis. Kelly is hooking it up. Now, normally we watch these shows for aspirational women. Like, we want to see Shimia's, like, really rich people doing really glamorous things. Kelly is doing the opposite, and she's going through it. So I'm not really even making fun of it. But she's going through it, and she's doing the opposite. She is just getting free shit everywhere. She got the free teeth from Jarvis. She's getting the free townhome. I'm assuming it's free from Shimia because she's got a Shimia townhome sitting around. And she's getting free lawyer work from Phaedra later in the episode. Okay, so pay your employees then, because the other articles that were coming up are you're not paying your employees. So come on.
She's not giving aspirational. She's giving desperational. So she's moving into Shamia's house, townhome, which is fine. That's fine. I mean, look, it's roof over the head. It's free. Oh, look at that. A fan has emerged.
I got this fan from the Jellicle Cats, so I'm going to put it away, so I will stop clacking it.
You can clack it whenever you want. Clack it whenever there's a point to be made. That was also the sound of, I feel like, Kelly setting the vertical blinds in the townhome.
You better get that fan out of my face, Kenya. You better get it out. You are nothing but a slut from the 90s.
People are hating. Anyway,
the point of the story is
putting it away.
She moves into this townhome, and there's nothing more to say about it. It's just the townhome. Which, by the way, the kitchen looks identical to the mom's town. When Shamia went to her parents' house and they were making grits, it looked like the exact same kitchen. So it makes me wonder: were her parents staying in that townhome? Do they have another townhome that looks like that? These are the things that I'm most curious about. Not when will Kelly get on her feet. It's more like, where were they shooting that scene?
Yeah,
were they using this townhome? Was it a fake scene? Was it a fake home for the parents? Tell me everything.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
That's actually not a good question.
Yeah, it is. Because I'm wondering about the townhome. The townhome. I'm like,
because I was like, this looks like the same kitchen. Not that it has any bearing on anything. And if they did shoot that scene in this kitchen, like, it literally changes nothing. But I just want to know. I just want to know. I want to know where everyone's house is.
Yeah. So, Shamia has food sitting out and stuff like that for her. And she says this is one of her very first investment properties that she bought within her marriage. And of course, Kelly's going to get to come because she's a good friend. And now she can never turn against Shamia, unlike everybody else on this show.
Yeah. So anyway, now we go to Stanton Park, where Angela and her brother Lawrence are there. And also Angela's daughter is Amari, I think her name is. I forget.
Amari.
But she goes and plays. And so Angela's saying that she and her brother are very close. And, you know, her mom had recently passed. And so they now have a really sad scene where they talk about losing their mom and grief.
Yeah. So we're not going to make fun of that. And so then we go to, well, basically we find out that none of the siblings even know that Amari got married. So
yeah,
she's like, well, I'm going to leave it up to them to tell. So then we go to the Parks group, attorneys and counselors at law, and Kelly is meeting up with Phaedra.
Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of fun to see Phaedra back in like lawyer mode, because I feel like she's been in so many other modes since we last saw her practicing law. I mean, I believe her last occupation we saw was her Reiki healing and blowing into a recorder. So now she's back in like law mode. And so Kelly comes in and Kelly's like, you know, Phaedra, I need a miracle on top of miracles. You know, everything is in red. I'm in World War III. When going through a divorce where the other partner is not financially helping you with a parent, it just becomes a burden. So Phaedra's like, well, I went ahead and filed the emergency ex parte filing, clarifying your divorce settlement. But I might want to file another motion for child support. And I was also thinking of going down to the courthouse and doing a Reiki Healy session on the judge. I don't know, just throwing that out there.
She's like, here's what I was thinking of filing. A motion called boop, 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 boop. Could you please not tell me in Peter and the Wolf? Like, I really, really need to understand what's going on here. So she's like, Phaedra's, okay, I'll be filing a dong. Phaedra, could I get just something a little more specific? Okay.
Phaedra, are you doing Rumble in the Jungle in the Jungle in the 70s?
She's like, now I would like you to put your hand on the Bible. That is a dead person's hand. Yes, I'm into taxidermy. Hold on, please. Just put that to the side. Phaedra also tells us that she is Phaedra Parks, lawyer at large. And she's like, I've won many commendations as a lawyer. And I was like, really? Or like, what prizes do lawyers get? So I looked it up, and let me tell you, she ain't lying. She's got, let me tell you what she's got. The 2014 Maynard Jackson Legacy Award from the National Bar Association. Okay. Atlanta's most popular lawyer in 2016. She got that from Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard.
That's
attorney
funny.
Of the. What's that?
You're the most popular lawyer. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Attorney of the Year, 2006. She got that. I don't know who gave that to her. She got Georgia Super Lawyers Rising Star in 2005, 2007, 2009, and 2010 from Atlanta Magazine.
It's a lot of time. Shouldn't you only win Rising Star once? At that point, you've risen.
How
right?
many times do you get to be New Artist of the Year? For sure.
I know.
Top Woman of Influence, commended by Atlanta Business League and named Rolling Out Magazine's Top 25 Most Influential Women. She was also, I mean, it's crazy. She's got a ton of stuff here. I mean, I didn't even know lawyers got awards. So good for Phaedra.
Yeah, she's killing it. So she's talking about filing these motions. She brings in her partner, Quentin, and he's talking about, you know, lawyerly things. And Kelly is like, well, there's a situation of me filming with my daughters. And Phaedra's like, well, we've got to make the court see the importance of being able to show yourself as a mother. That is Paramount. As in, we could work out a deal for you to be on Paramount Plus. That would really probably help you out a lot. Just, yeah. And if you want me to share my truth, like, don't put me on those things. I'm like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that in this case, the dad's doing all of us a solid, because I really don't want to watch Kelly and her daughters. Like, let's focus on other things you're doing. I would rather watch you play pickleball than have a scene of you doing homework with your daughters and talk about how hard it is. You got daughters. They're growing up so fast.
Just find, I want to see you train some people in that, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, like, show us how to make waffles.
Yeah, nobody's been trained in Nana's. Go train them. That's interesting. So yeah. Phaedra's like, you know, this is my gift to you because I've been through a divorce and I know what it's like. And she's like, oh my God, are you serious? And she's like, yes, I'm serious. And Kelly's like, oh God, attorneys fees, court, all these fees add up. So it feels really good to rely on Shamia and Phaedra. I'm so thankful for the knowledge and the friendship.
You know, I always admire you and I know that you're a stand-up woman. I will forever be indebted to you guys for that. Well, thank you, and thank you for acknowledging my new career as a stand-up. I'm working on some jokes. You can see me at Ha Ha's in downtown Atlanta later this week.
So now we go to Montel and Kristen Jordan's house. Montel is a singer-pastor, and Kristen is also a pastor.
This is the twist I was not expecting, was for Derek and Pinky to go get marriage counseling from Montel Jordan. This is
I didn't see this coming either.
I'm like, guys, this just in, I have decided to I'm doing some work on myself, and I've been doing some really important therapy with CNC Music Factory.
Guys, I've been feeling a little bit sad and down on myself. Robin's coming over later to just help me through this. Adele was too busy, like... but
I know people are allowed to have multiple careers. I know Alanis Morissette is a licensed therapist herself, but I just don't know if I could really take any sort of counseling from anyone who was like a pop star at one point. I just don't. I mean, I think I would love it, but I don't know if I could take it seriously.
It would be hard to concentrate, you know?
It would be. I'd be like, is this how we do it, Montel?
And who's we? Does everybody do it the same way? Is that a you thing, Montel?
This is how we do it, baby.
Are we so, going back in an old school jam?
Pinky is saying Montel is not only one of the greatest artists of our generation, but he and his wife have been marriage counselors even before they got married. I think this is a thing, you know, like in Catholicism or whatever. That's the only way I know what it is, but going through therapy before you get married is actually good because you learn a lot about each other that you would never be asking because you're so in love right before marriage. I think in modern times, it's more of a red flag if you're going to therapy before you're married. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think it's good. I actually think it's really
good. Probably important, right?
Well, I think it's more of a red flag if you need to go to counseling before you get married. I think it's probably good if you're just doing it just to be preventative. But if it's like, oh, wow, like we fight every single weekend, we should probably go to counseling so that way we can justify getting married. That I think is more of a red flag.
Yeah, I think. But yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's good. You know, you go take care of your if you care about that relationship, it's good to go talk to a therapist. I just can, you know, it just starts like, this is how I do it, baby. No, this is how I do it, baby. No. This is how we do it, baby. Got to come together.
I just really, it's like, well, you know, Dom and I have been going through some really tough times, and we're pushing through it though, guys. And I think with some good counseling, I think we're getting on the other end of it. It's like, oh, who is your counselor? Kathy Dennis. She just keeps singing Too Many Walls over and over again, and finally we're like, Too Many Walls.
She's on like, to something.
I just don't know how I'd be able to like tell friends with a straight face like I'm seeing Montel Jordan, and he may be 100% qualified. I just don't know if I could be like, who is your counselor, Montel Jordan? It's just such a funny concept to me. But then I think I'm also like a little jealous because also it would be really cool to be like, yeah, guys, I got counseling with Montel Jordan. I'll see you in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. That's short. It's like the length of a pop song.
Well, I'm 50 minutes into my session and I'm texting people. So it was a full session, guys.
So she's talking about how this couple shares stuff with them. They share stuff with this couple. I don't know about that. I don't want to hear about my therapist's life. I want them to hear about my life. I don't want them to share with me unless it's gum. Like if they have gum in their purse, then I'm good.
I don't know. I'm of the mindset that I like a therapist who has done the schooling and like is up on all the academic principles. And this is just a choice thing because people go to different people for different help. But I've never been like a fan of like, so here's a couple and they'll tell you how to be a couple also. It's like when Heather and Terry DeBro did it. Or wasn't it Married to Medicine it was happening? Well, they do it every week, every season with a couples trip. But for a while they had like a couples moment, right, where they would all like share with each other like how they, like check-ins. I mean, support group is one thing, but I don't know. I just want someone I don't know if I want to just sit with a couple that are like, well, here's what works for us. Cause I'm like, I don't know if it's really working for you guys. You're just saying that. So that way you can like, you know, be hired and then your marriage is going to fall apart next. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend who became a life coach. She had just stopped doing coke. She had just gotten a divorce and she was unemployed. And I was like, I support your goals, but I think you might need more practice first.
Yeah.
You're not life coaching me. Are you fucking crazy? If you want $20, just ask for $20. Good God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're talking about what they're going through. Pinky's saying she brought her company back earlier this year. It was the hardest thing she ever had to do. And she felt like her husband wasn't there for her. And he's like, well, you know, I was just coming from a place of like, I get it. And we've got this no matter what. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I met him as an entrepreneur on my own. And you're an entrepreneur. And so I had my own inner aspirations that I want to succeed. But, you know, now I have to file for bankruptcy and Derek wants to bail me out. And I don't want to be bailed out by Derek because I want to prove that I can do it just like he can do it, basically.
And then Kristen's like, but that's pride. I love you. And Pinky's like, I know. And Derek's like, I told her that. And Kristen's like, but that's pride. And Pinky's like, well, honestly, I'm paying and that's like not even financially responsible for us to do that. But then it makes me tough because I don't want you to feel like you can't be there for me when I need you the most. And Kristen's like, okay, look, I'm keeping it 100. It's like, if you say it's pride one more time, I swear to God. She goes, no, it's not that. But here's the thing. This is temporary. Nobody's going to keep Pinky down. We know this. You are no longer a solo pilot. So Pinky's like, well, when Derek married me, Derek knew what he was getting himself into. And my decision to not get Derek's help has not changed our dynamic. I'm just really independent. And he doesn't have to financially strain himself to make sure that I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know. So she's like, clack the fan. It's not worth a clack. It's not worth a fan clack. I'm just if they gave me a street sweeper at Jellicle Ball, I would sweep the sweep. Be like enough. I would sweep the street rather, and just be like enough.
Sweep.
Okay,
it.
Enough.
I like sweeping it. You just do a male
sweeping the sweep. Sweep the street. Although
I did.
Sorry.
I did actually like what Montel said here. Believe it or not, for all my shade about a celebrity. Counselor, but he says it's the marriage that makes your business even better. It's not the business that makes your marriage better. I thought that was a nice little chestnut there. It was a good one. It's good, you know. It's sort of true. Although, I mean, the business will make the marriage better too. Let's be honest.
Well, the business can make the marriage a lot worse.
Everything can be,
you know, not to be negative, but you know, you bail it out, and then you still keep making the same boneheaded decisions that you were making in. Then you waste the good money that went after the bad. I mean, this could go bad. You know what I mean? And I get her instinct to not mix this in with marriage. But what do I know? Nothing.
I guess what Montel is saying when he says it's the marriage that makes your business even better, what he's really saying is thank God you've got this guy who made a fortune off of meat to make your vegan business better.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, dead animals are going to come in and save this vegan business. So
that's kind of what he's saying there. So anyway, it's Pinky's base. Like, I tried to be a better wife to my husband because we did not grow up with a lot of these examples. I never thought I'd experience love like this. I mean, I was like, she was this close to singing Dionne Warwick when she said, I never thought I'd experience a love like this.
No, there's a therapist.
I would approve that one.
No, there is a fucking therapist.
I mean,
took on Lisa Rinna single-handedly and in a Celebrity Apprentice. Hell yes. So
that's what basically friends are for. That'll be $5,000.
Yes. They have this therapy section. And then Pinky's like, well, wait a minute. I have a question, Montel. Do you have a man cave? And he's like, yes. And she's like, oh, I'm so tired of his doggone man cave. I'm not even going to lie to you. Listen, this man has given you $5 million. You better be glad he has a man cave, okay? That man better be able to keep his man cave. He's earned the man cave, for Christ's sake.
It's like, he has a man cave, but you've got a money pit. So go to the cave.
Which is more comfortable.
I know. Okay, back to Portia's house, and Phaedra is there. Phaedra's like, wow. She's like, girl, you shook up the internet. You were talking passion and punani. She's like,
yeah, hot dogs and tacos.
So Phaedra's like, why are you all trying to make Frick extra gay? Now she's running the flag right through Midtown.
She's like, well, listen, it's Atlanta. Everybody likes surf and turf here. Portia's like, not surf and turf. Even though they both agreed to be dating me and they know about each other, it's still awkward for them in their world. And she's like, yeah, selfishly, I didn't think about their reaction going public that I'm not only dating them.
Classic Portia. Whoops.
So now they show up at Drew's house because Drew's going to have like a little brunch. And Phaedra's like, well, I know this is Drew's house. We know that Ralph lives in the basement. Kind of makes me wonder if Pinky has a sister wife in the basement. We saw a flashback to that moment when Pinky was fighting with Angela. And Cynthia and Angela are there too. And Angela's saying it's hard because they're coming up on the 1-year anniversary of her mom's passing. So it's a lot about that this episode for her, which is very sad. So they are, Cynthia brings up the gay stuff with Portia, etc. And Phaedra's saying that, like, oh, K. Michelle's coming over. You got, and Drew thinks, everyone's like, oh, really? And Drew's like, no. And then Phaedra's like, I'm kidding. Don't you worry. K. Michelle.
Yeah. So they start talking about the national anthem event last week. And Portia's like,
yeah, Drew sang the national anthem and she killed it. And when I got there, she was trying to preserve her voice.
And Drew's like, they were trying to take my voice, guys.
They were trying to take it.
Cynthia's like, who? She's like, they were trying to take my voice away. Basically, Pinky called me to tell me about this project she's doing. She wanted me to be a part of. It's a series. Oh, now it's a series? It got up to series level?
Yeah, so, I think it was a series last time. Remember? Because we were talking about the budget. We're like, $40,000.
I thought that was a pilot. Wow.
Yeah, and Portia's like, well, she's doing a series about her life. And Drew says, Nori Naughton's playing her. And they're like, oh, my God, love Notori, love Notori. I don't know why I called her Nori. Notori. And Phaedra's like, yeah, she's my twin. Everyone says I look like her. I'm like, really? And Portia's like,
yeah, you could have played little Kim.
And Cynthia's like, wait a minute. This Phaedra? 2026 Phaedra? Or back in the day Phaedra? Because
yeah,
I don't see that with this wig.
And Angela's like, Notori Naughton is playing Pinky? She goes, Notori must need the check because she knows good and damn well she doesn't look like Pinky. The only person I can see as Pinky is Mr. Clean. So they cheers. And Phaedra's asking if the event was ruined because of this situation. And Drew says, no, I mean, it just was weird. And Shamia wanted to talk about Portia. Portia's like, me? And so we see a clip, we see a flashback to that of Shamia saying, I feel like I don't even know what the real beef is. I feel like I don't know. And Drew saying to Shamia, I have never done anything to Shamia and she knows it. It was a little smoke and it got caught astray because I was beefing with her friend.
Yeah. So then Portia's like,
well, I mean, I've been so pleasant and kind.
And everybody laughs. Pedro's like, Portia, you are the problem. She's like,
I'm the drama.
Okay, well, we're going to get to that because I have something else to drop. Dun, dun, dun. And Cynthia's like, well, when Shamia was at Lake Bailey, she brought up something about you and her having some text exchange. And Portia's like,
you know, I'm not going to defend a text message that was in private. When I'm around her, just like at your event, it was pleasurable. We're having fun. So that's all I need.
I'm sorry. I feel like this is like a real issue between real friends. And I think that this should not be just like something that's hidden behind closed doors. I really don't. If they're both, well, they both are on the show. They want to be on the show and their relationship has been exacerbated by the show, but then they're going to talk about it behind closed doors. Like this is, put it in the open and give us something real to sink our teeth into, because I think we as viewers really appreciate when there's real issues amongst in a friendship, you know? So I hate that they're just like, I'm not going to talk about it. That was in private. No.
Drew moves on. She's like, well, it was a great time, right?
And at the end, Michelle came, and Shamia was like, come meet us to go eat. So I go, and I see Michelle and Shamia at a table, and I was like back and forth, and Kay was just like, I don't like her. And then she got up and she left.
And Michelle didn't really say that. I mean, she acted like that, but she just got up and left. And Drew's like, she left her Chanel sitting in the chair. And Shamia said, you know what? I'm done too. And they're like, oh my God, they left you by yourself at lunch?
She's like, girl, I was sitting there with my lemon drop and they left. I'm never going to do that again.
And then a rainbow cake comes to the table from the staff. And then they're like, rainbow, what is this rainbow? Like,
it's in honor of you, Portia. She's like, stop it.
So Portia goes,
I'll have one half of this rainbow cake and you can take the other half, Drew.
So they all start screaming and laughing.
Portia asks the big question, which is,
is Ralph in the basement today?
And Drew's like, oh yeah, he's right down there. And Portia starts slamming her chair, like, boom, 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 boom. Tell Ralph to come speak to us.
Phaedra's like, let's do a Morse code. So funny. So, okay, so then we go to the skate party. There's a big Dave's Cheesesteaks truck.
And the slutty vegan truck there, too. Oh, man. This does sort of feel like a 90s rom-com. It's like, he makes beef, she makes vegan food, and together they fell in love. So
it does also feel like when a Republican and a Democrat get married, and then they go vote together just to cancel each other's vote out.
It's like George Carville and Mary Matlin. You know,
yeah.
God, those were the days. So Pinky tells us, she's like, I'm proud of us. We never really get the opportunity to let our hair down. So we want to use this opportunity to come together without thinking about bills, without thinking about business. And it really should have some fun. I mean, I was just waiting for Angela to say something about Pinky letting her hair down. Mr. Clean. So then Derek is, he's in a wig and everything. And then they're going to have a fun
time. This is extremely boring, so we're going to fast forward through.
Guys, this episode was tough. I'm not going to lie. In case you couldn't tell, I'm loving this season. This episode was a tough one.
This episode sucked. But, yeah, we're going to fast forward through most of this. They brought, like, a guy for Drew to date, who she ignores the whole time. And I don't really care because it's weird. And then they start talking about Dennis a little bit. And now we go to Portia's house. And Dennis just walks right in. And
I love that we just roller skated right through this whole skating scene.
Yeah, I can't. You know what? My patience is done. 5 minutes through this, I was like, why? Why are you doing this to me? So it's over. So then we go to Portia's.
It's over.
And Dennis walks right in, and he's got a red box. And he's like, oh, you've got pink hair. I know what that means.
And
I don't.
She says,
even though Dennis can be Dennis the Menace, I love him. And he's a really good father. And I really couldn't ask for anything else other than that, even though we're not even together.
So, by the way, I want to say one thing that was nice in the roller skating scene was that we have a flashback that everyone brought Angela flowers and nice gifts because the 1 year anniversary of the death of her mom. So it was a very nice moment for Angela. Okay. So Dennis comes in and they sit down and she's like, why are you acting so chill? Like, what's going on with you? And he's like, I saw the blog in Brooklyn. And she's like, oh yeah, CultureCon. He's like, you don't think you need to slow it down?
She's like, slow what down? What am I doing?
You know, when you're dating, you don't gotta tell everyone what's going on. And she's like, okay, Dennis, whatever. Please, you're not the one to talk about.
Yeah, he's like, you're confusing my daughter. Oh, really? She's like, yeah.
First of all, no one's met Pilar. I'm just enjoying being single. And you had your opportunity. Do you remember that?
He's like, sure. And we see a flashback of them talking about the ring situation. And Portia's like,
and when you did not bring it in December, I met someone and boom, I got into marriage. And you were like, oh, it's so fast. Well, this is too much. You're doing too much.
And he goes, yeah, but look, you're already divorced from the guy. And she goes,
oh, please. Things with you went too fast. And here we are.
I was like, yeah, but I mean, he does kind of have a point, but she also has a point. She's like, I moved too fast with you. Now we have a family. Shut the fuck up. That's how we move.
I'll tell you who's moving fast is Dennis becoming friends with everyone in Portia's life. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, this is very painful for me. You know, from the day we met, I was very intentional from the beginning. Were you, Dennis? Come on.
Didn't you like cheat a lot?
I was intentional.
What?
I gave you a baby. I said, let's go look at a ring.
And he's like, yeah, and I appreciate that. I went, I got it done, which brings me to my next point. So he pulls out a red box. He's like, and it's basically the ring. He's brought her ring back that she got for him.
Yeah. And so he's like, I brought the ring back today. She's like, what is this supposed to mean? He says, well, I waited around to see if we can maybe, you know, use it, but I guess I can't do anything with it now.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, if you're not using the ring anymore, you do something with it. Don't give it back to Portia. This was just him being a dick. Because he's always a dick whenever something is going well in her life and she's happy and she's liking her romantic options, even if one of them is fake. So he's got to insert himself and hurt her in whatever way he can.
Wait, why are you saying she bought him the ring? She bought the ring?
Well, I maybe she didn't buy the ring, but it was like, I assume that she bought, I don't remember who bought the ring, but it's definitely like, it was his wedding ring, right? Isn't that what he's giving back?
Because they were going to get married.
So right. Isn't that his ring? Was it supposed to be his ring?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't get it.
The point is, it's a piece of jewelry that means a lot, and someone bought it. And you know what? We are kind podcasters where we're not going to count people's money. So whoever bought it, they bought it. It's not
sure he bought it. I think he bought it. Was the ring he bought her for the wedding, but then they didn't have the wedding, so he still has the ring, right?
Oh, it's her ring. It's her ring.
I mean, that's how I was taking it. So she's like, well, I didn't think he was going to give this back to me. So she throws the box back at him. It's like,
you're doing too much.
And she's like, why are you crying?
She's like, I'm not. I don't cry. How dare you bring that ring over here? Like, that's like I'm being all the way fucking for real.
He's like, okay, well, there's no point in me hanging around.
She's like, but you are. And even if you don't hang around, that's fine. But you gave it to me twice in this engagement that you fucking broke. And you're the drama, not the drama, the drama.
So he just brings this ring into play. Like, remember what we had? You were the one who fucked it up, Dennis. So she says that in a perfect world, she'd be with Dennis. But she doesn't want to introduce her daughter to a toxic household. And she's like,
and you're not going to come over here and casually cross your fucking tight pants and fucking hand me that fucking ring with your ankle huggers.
But like, he's either giving... So the ring that he had initially bought for her, that since they didn't get married, he's still holding on to it, but now he's giving it to her anyway. That doesn't make sense to me. But then also,
I think he's being like, if he's okay, well, I guess we're never, I guess if you're dating two people, we're never going to get back together. So I guess you're saying now that it's really over. So here's the ring.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I believe that that is the case of what he's doing. I'm just saying, like, why would you do that? Why would like, it doesn't make any sense why you would really do that. And also, like, and if it's also, if it's his ring, it also doesn't make sense. The point is that Dennis drives me nuts. And I just never trust any of his gestures that he makes. Because I feel like there's always an ulterior motive.
There is, it's very obvious. He's coming on here to look like a victim. And, like, Portia's hurting his feelings. And all he was trying to do was get this relationship back. And he's putting in all this work to get the relationship back. And he's just been saving the ring for when she's ready. But apparently she doesn't even care about their daughter because she's going to go on with two different people now. Like, he's trying to be a big victim because he's worked his way into this show to shoot with all of these people. And he knows he can have multiple scenes with Shamia or Shamia's husband or any of the other people that he's wormed his way into. And then he can have a victim scene about it and continue his Bravo ass pass.
Yeah. Well, he says, we clearly need to go to therapy because you're obviously not understanding what's going on. And I have just booked a session with Ashford and Simpson. So get ready. She goes,
no, no, we're not going to. Didn't one of them die anyway? Whatever. There's no co-parent therapy.
He's like, but for the sake of Pilar, she'll be damned if I literally bring her dad in the house for her to see us together as a family and then break up.
And he's like, but so, what do I tell Dr. Millie? What do I tell Dr. Vanilli?
So she's like,
tell them to learn the words. Get this ring out of my house.
Well, okay, it's fine. But I think the Indigo Girls will be very upset that they can't help us.
The Indigo Girls. Wow.
It's just like, they told us to go to the doctor.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. She's like, whatever with Dennis. I'm always thinking about Dennis's mental health. I wish he would think about mine.
Yeah, no, he's not thinking about her mental health. He's just thinking about ways that he can look better on TV and stay on TV and, you know, whatever. And there's part of me that actually thinks this entire scene was concocted by the two of them anyway. I just feel like every time they're on screen together, they start talking like community theater. It doesn't feel like it's authentic. It feels like they arranged to have a scene. And I just am like, I was already checked out of the scene the moment it started, I hate to say. So she slams the door. He leaves. She slams the door. And then she's going to the producers and she's like,
did you know he had a ring? Did you know? Ah.
And she says,
Dennis has crappy timing. I'm coming out of a divorce. I'm trying to rebuild. My heart is very soft right now. And here you come bringing up old feelings. And I'm always thinking about Dennis's mental health. And I just wish he would do the same for me.
And then she cries.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, here's hoping for better next week.
It'll be, next week will be better. You know, every now and then you just got to throw in a, they've got to meet their episode order. They got to just throw in some junk in there and get through to the next.
Yeah.
Next good episode. Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, we have Real Housewives of Rhode Island. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Sills be.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.